Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend's message with you from Pastor Joshua Simonet. You can find us on national.cc or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Well, in less than 2 months, September 12th to be exact, I have the privilege of leading a church plant called Hope Baltimore. It is an expression of National Community Church, and we will be launching, y'all. And I'm excited about that. Hey, I ask that you all track with us on social media just to you know, keep up with updates and those sorts of things. I think we have it up on the screen. Yes, we do. And hey, will y'all come hang with us? You know, create some space in your schedule to just come, you know, check us out. And also, if you know people in and around Baltimore, tell them to come holler at us. Tell them to come kick it with us. And I just want to thank all of you, those of you who are here, those of you who are all over the place, dispersed around the country, even around the world. A few folks have hit me up. I just want to say thank you to all of you, wherever you are, for all of your prayers and your provisions. It has really been a huge encouragement. So thank you all so much. I'm honored to be sharing with you all this weekend as we continue our series, Joy, as we are walking through the book of Philippians. So we are going to jump into the second half of Philippians 3 this weekend. So if you have a Bible, an app, or something of the sort, you can meet us there. If not, we will have the words up on the screen. As always, won't leave you hanging. As we kind of pick up where Pastor Mark left off, the words of the Apostle Paul to these Jesus followers in a place called Philippi. But before we go back to Philippi, this weekend I actually wanted to hit the rewind button to a little bit more recent history in two different places, the state of Ohio and Germany. In the 1930s, there was a track coach at Ohio State University. His name was Lawrence Snyder. And Coach Snyder knew that he had something special or someone special joining his track team, a man by the name of James Cleveland Owens, known to you and many of you as Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens not only became the pride of Ohio State University during that time and beyond, but Jesse Owens also upstaged one of the most notorious dictators in modern history, Adolf Hitler. It was in the 1930s, as a matter of fact, 1936 Olympics in Berlin, Germany, where Jesse Owens upstaged Hitler's attempt to showcase supremacy, to showcase what Germany was going to do through his regime, using the platform of the Olympics. Jesse Owens upstaged this by winning 4 gold medals. And it was a monumental moment in the fight for equality. And many may not know that Jesse Owens almost didn't run in those Olympics. He almost didn't run because he wanted to stand against the oppression of our Jewish brothers and sisters. He wanted to stand in solidarity with them because right here in these United States, African Americans were experiencing the same thing. But Owens decided against that and chose to run in the Olympics. Even though many African Americans throughout history, especially Christian African Americans, have identified with our Jewish brothers and sisters, if we look back at the Old Testament, specifically the Exodus, an oppressed people that God rescued, and many, many African Americans and Christians look to that same God as they were impressed. And we fast forward to what was happening in the Holocaust as well, with African Americans looking to stand in solidarity with them in history. But there are two moments that I wanted to highlight in Jesse Owens' story that I thought was significant. If you've seen the biopic Race, which is about Jesse Owens' life. There are two significant coaching moments. The first one was when Coach Snyder, he pulls Jesse into his office and he sits him down and he says, "Jesse, it takes more than a pair of legs to win. You've got to win up here." He's talking about mental tenacity to Jesse. And then the second coaching moment is when Coach Snyder is after a track practice and he has his team, some of which are African-American runners, including Jesse Owens, and the football team is coming in the locker room and they're making noise and they're trying to intimidate these runners and they're trying to kick them out of the locker room, and their coach is there and Coach Owens is there, and he says, "Jesse, look at me." He said, "You must learn to block it all out. It's all just noise. They will love you or they will hate you, but it doesn't matter." What Snyder is trying to do is drill into Jesse and his team a particular kind of mindset that is needed, a mindset that is needed to win and to compete at the level that he knows that Jesse is capable of competing. Because he knew that his focus needed to be beyond the present oppressive conditions. And he knew that the races on the track would not be hard, but what Jesse would face off the track would be. Because Jesse Owens was running against more than opponents on the track. And so as we make our way to the second half of Philippians 3, I believe that the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this letter, is also talking about mindset and focus. It's a big part of what I would argue Paul is talking about throughout this letter. And I imagine that Paul's words are echoing like that of a coach, encouraging us. And Paul is also using some of these athletic metaphors as he's talking about the kind of life that Jesus followers should live. And he's talking about running a race and a pursuit and not looking back, but looking forward. How we think, how we focus, and how we pursue informs how we live and what we pursue and how we sacrifice and where we put our focus. The Apostle Paul knows these things. And so as we approach Philippians 3, I think that Paul, as we lead up to this point, is he's encouraging a couple of things that he wants to de-emphasize. One of those is pride in the flesh. This idea of circumcision being the mark of justification. Pastor Mark talked about that last week, but there was this idea that you had to be circumcised in order to be a true Jewish follower. And there was a lot of pride that was being put into that. And Paul says, listen, don't pay attention to that. There's no pride in the flesh. And then the second thing he says here is this idea of selfish ambition. The things that we think make us look good and the boxes that we want to check that get us ahead and shine the light on us. Paul said, no, actually, we need to be thinking about other people more than ourselves. To the Christians in Galatia, he said, carry one another's burdens. Then he transitions into this metaphorical language related to sports and pursuit. And here is where we pick it up in verse number 14 in Philippians chapter number 3. The previous two verses, he's saying, listen, only go forward. Don't look back. Your focus needs to be here. And then we pick it up in verse 14. He says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now I say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame, and they are focused on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I was going to tag a title on this message this weekend, I would tag it "How to Have an Upside Down Mindset." How to have an upside down mindset. This phraseology "upside down" comes from this idea that when Jesus came on the scene in the Sermon on the Mount and he's teaching about God's kingdom, it was a little different than what folks thought. It was a lot of bit against the grain. All right. And so it at some point was dubbed the upside down kingdom. And so in Paul's writings to these Jesus followers and all the places that he's writing, he's just echoing what Jesus has said. And so what he's telling these believers in Philippi is this idea of what your mindset needs to be. And I'm just borrowing from what Jesus was teaching and tagging this message, how to have an upside down mindset. And so here, right off the bat, it is clear what Paul is saying and what he's talking about, how we should pursue and how we should focus. And for our time this weekend, there are three things that I want to highlight that I think Paul is emphasizing for Jesus followers. First, when we look at verse number 14, this is kind of like establishing the overarching goal here in verse 14, because he says the goal of the target is God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. And the prize is not anything earthly, but it's heavenly, all right? So he's establishing this overarching target and goal right off the bat. Then in verse 15, it says, therefore, all right? So I studied English in college, and I love these little nuances in language and nomenclature. And so when you pull out therefore, okay, it is a conjunction and it is an adverb. Okay, so it's a conjunction because it is now connecting this overarching thought in verse 14 to everything else that Paul is going to say. So it's joining those two things together. And it's an adverb because it tells us how. And so Paul outlines for us how. And listen to what Paul outlines. Point number one, if you're taking notes, Paul says that we need spiritually mature cognition. So the word cognition is about thinking and how we think. So we need spiritually mature cognition or thinking. Listen to what he says. He says, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. This word mature in the original Greek in which it was written is a word teleos. And teleos is related to completeness. And so the idea here is to pursue God's plans and purpose for our life, we need a mature mindset. This is what Paul is saying. And so the cognitive processing that we need must reflect teleos or completeness, right? But listen to this. He didn't just leave it there. In order for that to happen, in order for us to have teleos, all right, we need revelation from God, right? Because if not, we are making decisions that are incomplete. Listen, he said, if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. That's revelation. And I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life where I've been doing some things that I thought was good or I thought I had thought it through. And guess what? It was incomplete, right? I might have been thinking well, you know, or in the right direction, but it was incomplete, right? Let me just tell you one instance. I don't know when this was. I'm not sure if I was young or not, but I've always hated washing dishes, so I just probably blurted it out of my mind. But this one time I had the opportunity to put some dishes in the dishwasher and wash them. And I just realized, you know, we don't have anything to, you know, the little tablets or whatever to put in the dishwasher. So I put somebody already saying no. They already know where this is going. So I took some dish detergent and I just squirted it in there and closed it. And I left for a while. And when I came back, y'all already know what happened. It was suds everywhere. I mean, it was like something out of a movie. And I you know, water's coming out. It was a major problem. But here's the thing. I didn't know. I just knew that I needed to complete this task. And so I did the best that I could. But my thinking was incomplete. It wasn't that I was being immature. It was just that I didn't have the maturity in my life to know that's just not what you do. And so maybe for some of us in our lives, we're living well, or we're checking the boxes and things seem to be going. But somehow, some way, things get off. Or somehow, some way, we've done all of these things in our education and in our professional career, and we still feel empty. Or incomplete. And maybe it's because our pursuit is not the right pursuit that Paul is talking about. And so we even need this spiritually mature cognition to help us with what we pursue and how we pursue. Because spiritually mature cognition, guess what, y'all? It looks upside down. You know why? Because when we have this spiritually mature cognition that Paul is talking about, it reflects the things that Jesus said, like love your enemies. But now the world says, hey, listen, now you don't have to love your enemies. Now those are people you're supposed to hate. But it's upside down because Jesus said we're supposed to love them. That's upside down, y'all. Or this whole idea of, hey, listen, you put others before you. That's not the message of the world we live in. You got to look out for you. I mean, even Beyonce said, it's just me, myself, and I. That's all I got in the end. That's what I found. But listen, it's upside down thinking. And then even Jesus said, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. How is the greatest among us going to come to serve? It's upside down. And so this is what Paul is saying, the kind of maturity that we need, the kind of completeness in our thinking. The second thing that Paul says after spiritually mature cognition, he says we need Christ-led community. Listen, verse 17, he says, join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. I love how we can find science in the Bible. Because what Paul is talking about here is behavioral influence. Behavioral science is what really Paul is illuminating here. Because this whole idea of who and what we watch is important. This is why both our intimate and our extended community, our extended community would be when we're engaging in community that's not in person, or maybe it's virtual, maybe it's social media, but our intimate and our extended community, all right, should be intentional, because it has influence over us. And listen, the research says, not that we even need research to tell us this, but we need the behavior of others to keep us on track. Now, we know the behavior of folks will take us off track, but guess what? We need the behavior of other people around us to keep us on track. We don't need a marketing professor or an author of a book to tell us that, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Jonah Berger, who's the author of Invisible Influence, Hidden Forces That Shape Behavior, he says there's a non-conscious effect on our behavior, and we're not aware that it is influencing us. Now, he's not arguing that influence is bad. He's arguing that it has both an upside and a downside. It depends on what the influence is. We also know that much of our preferences is all about behavior influence. How we grew up, the environment we grew up in, who was around us, who raised us, our culture, all of these things have influenced our behaviors. And so we understand and we know the power of community, the power of being with. I'm gonna just tell you this quick story. I mentioned this a while back, but I had this desire to go to the NFL, right? And it's kind of a long story, but I was 19 years old. And I said, hey, if I'm going to play in the National Football League, I gotta have this mindset. And so what can I do to put myself in the right kind of mindset to pursue this goal? I came up with this idea that I would wear a suit to every game. Now, some of y'all, that might sound crazy to you. But let me tell you my rationale. What I saw were professionals every weekend showing up to stadiums in suits and after the game in press conferences in suits. And so I said, I need to be a professional now and prepare myself to go in that direction. But listen, y'all, it's not that easy. It sounded crazy because that wasn't what we did before games. That's not how we dressed. So I would look crazy if I just showed up with this suit on saying I'm preparing myself for the NFL at a school called Tennessee Tech. Well, nobody had gone to the NFL since the 80s. Now, but here's the smart thing I did. I recruited another teammate who had a similar mindset as me, who has similar goals as me, and I convinced him to wear a suit too. So now listen, if I'm gonna look crazy, at least I got a friend that look crazy too. And here is why that's important, because the science says that we don't want to stand out too much. We don't want to be too different. And it's easier for us if we got somebody else with us. So that's why Paul is saying, yo, y'all look at me. Y'all look at the people around and follow us. Because pursuing Christ and living according to what he outlines, it's upside down, y'all. It's different. It's going against the grain. And it's easier to do that within a community with similar values. So number one, Paul says that we need this spiritually mature cognition. Number two, Paul says that we need Christ-led community. And then number three, which seems a bit odd, but we'll dissect it. He says we need to prioritize heavenly citizenship. Now this might seem a little bit off here. Listen to what he says. He says our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a significant point because this is the second time that Paul mentions this in this letter. In Philippians 1:27, he says, as citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. So why is Paul saying this, let alone repeating it? Well, you got to understand that contextually speaking and historically speaking, Philippi is a Roman colony in northeast Greece. And so because Philippi is a colony of Rome, the civic life is mainly ordered around life according to Rome, all right? Which included, okay, the worship of Caesar as Savior and Lord. So, verse 20 is not, let me tell you what it is not. It is not Paul saying that we should act as if we're waiting for what's next. That heaven is off in the distance and we're just in a holding pattern. No, that's not what Paul is saying. This is a principal challenge that Paul is offering. And the principal challenge is this: to the Christians and the Jesus followers in Philippi to have primary allegiance to heaven, the kingdom that Jesus was preaching about, and to have primary allegiance to Jesus, not Caesar. And then in verse 21, which we didn't read, he says, because our full transformation will come from Jesus. That's why he said that we look for a savior from there, Jesus, because that's where the transformation is going to come from. Not Rome, not life in Rome, not Caesar, not all of the things that came along with being a colony. Not any of those things. Now, this could not be more relevant to our current times. This couldn't be more relevant to us right here. And here's why. We just celebrated 4th of July, right? Independence Day. Time of celebration and embracing our American citizenship. A citizenship that carries with it a particular pride and mindset related to the freedoms and liberties that are outlined in our Constitution, right? Now, these are good things on paper, you know. Now, we're struggling a little bit, or, you know, some may argue that, you know, the equality piece and some of the things we need to work out, we're kind of wrestling through. But on paper, these are good things, all right? But Paul is addressing the mindset and focus from that perspective too. Why? Because this idea of citizenship and belonging influences how we live. Well, what does that mean for the believer? All right. Well, it means that I'm seeing a lot here in the country that we live in where there's a lot of America first. All right. Now let me just say this. What is, as a Jesus follower, what would our civic engagement look like centered around heaven first? What would that look like? What is life modeled around humility and sacrifice first? Not the American dream first. Not the individual accomplishments first. Why? Because what do the scriptures say? Listen, we can walk through the whole entire Old Testament, and we can see that anything exalted above God and his kingdom goes against his command and expectation. Number two, Jesus, listen at this. Now we're talking about disciples. Now, if you're not a disciple, I'm not talking to you. This is not for you. But the disciples, listen, Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17:16. And you know what he prayed? He said, God, protect these disciples. Keep them because they're not of this world. Just like I'm not of this world, they are not of this world. So Jesus is clearly communicating that his disciples are not of this world. Wow. And then number three, Jesus says, listen, in me, that's where abundant life is found. Amen. I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. In Jesus. That's what he said in John 10:10. Now, this doesn't mean that we should be anti-American. Y'all don't say what I didn't say. I didn't say that. We shouldn't be. I'm not saying we shouldn't be anti-American. I'm not saying we shouldn't be patriotic and proud to be American. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our American citizenship is not first. Amen. It's not primary. Amen. And the reason why is because the mission of the Jesus follower is to be a reflection of God's kingdom here Amen. On earth. Amen. It is to be a reflection of the renewal and the redemption that God desires for here on earth. So we are to bring heaven to earth. If we look at verses 18 and 19, Paul says, because many have prioritized other stuff, their own glory, their own appetite, their own agendas, they actually live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, what is the cross of Christ? Well, the cross of Christ is about sacrificial living. And it means that we don't embrace sacrificial living when we elevate all of these other things first. We are enemies, Paul says, of the cross of Christ. So what does that look like for us as it relates to this idea of citizenship and how we should live? Well, let me just give you a couple of examples. It means freedom of speech for us is we won't use our words to tear people down. Just because we have the right to say what we want to say. That's what it means for us. It means, yes, we own property and it gives us rights, but we will work hard to live in harmony with and consider our neighbors, even though they might be pains in our butt sometimes. It literally means that we are prioritizing God's kingdom and that our citizenship here is our citizenship in God's kingdom is first. But it doesn't abolish our earthly citizenship. Actually, it takes it further. Come on. Let me see if I can land this plane for us this weekend. We're coming into the summer games, as I talked about the Olympics earlier. And it's a time where we have these athletes coming from all over the world. And when I think about this, I think about the next level display that we're going to see of these young men and women representing their country. and the stories inspiring us. And I think about what it takes for these athletes to do what they do and the pride that they have and how all of these things move us. But in order to even get to that stage and to do what they do, it takes an upside down mindset because they have to push their bodies to the brink of exhaustion and they've overcome defeat and they've overcome obstacles and they've got to embrace a disciplined way of eating and living and training, which is against the grain of what normal people do. But here's the thing, at its purest form, these athletes, they don't do what they do just for them. They do it to rep their country. They do it to be a reflection of where they're from and who they represent. And it captures the attention of the entire world. And guess what? This is exactly the point that Paul was making about the kind of pursuit that we should be going after. This is precisely the point that we should live in such a way that it brings heaven to earth and it represents and reflects the kingdom of heaven. And it literally turns people's hearts towards Jesus. I ask our worship team to come as we prepare for a time of worship. Because I wish that I could say that it always feels triumphant. I wish that I could say that there are great celebratory moments and people acknowledge us the way we need to be acknowledged. I wish I could say that the champion Jesse Owens, when he came back home, that life was great for him, but the man couldn't even get a job until Ohio State made him a janitor at the same place where he rose to greatness. This is in part why Paul says we should have a heavenly focus. We should have an upside down mindset. Yeah. That our pursuit should be heavenly because the things in this world are just topsy-turvy. They're inconsistent. And at best, they're just moments where we experience goodness. But there is a kingdom that we are to reflect. Come on. That is unlike anything we've ever seen or experienced. We, as the citizens of heaven and Jesus' disciples, are bringing that to earth. And God is working in and through us. And so I just want to pray for us before we worship together because we need God to help us to be able to pull this off. Some days I don't feel like going against the grain. Some days I don't feel like loving my neighbor. A lot of days I don't feel like loving my neighbor. If I'm being honest. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. And so God, we look to you. We come to you because we need you. If we're going to have spiritually mature cognition, we need your revelation to help us to think properly. God, we need Christ-led community to give us an example and to also give us strength when we feel weak. So we don't feel like we're going against the grain on our own. And God, we need to prioritize and have the mindset that our citizenship is in heaven first. And that just because we have certain rights, we need to make sure that we're reflecting your kingdom first. Because we're here to bring heaven to earth. We can't do it without you. And so I'm asking this weekend that you would empower us to live according to the calling that we have in Christ Jesus. It's these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say, amen.